Morning, we are continuing on what is our 10-week really quick grand tour of the Old Testament. Now last week, just by way of reminder, we were in the book of Leviticus and we learned about the Day of Atonement. It was that big sacrifice for sins that Israel did once a year. And as Christians today, we look back and see how Jesus fulfilled that Day of Atonement for us. So that as far as the east is from the west, so far has Jesus removed our sin from us as those who fear and trust him. Now today we find ourselves in the book of Deuteronomy, and it's a book that's all about loving God with all of our heart. Now back in discussion time we asked, when was there a time when you did something with all your heart? And I'll just share an example of mine. Over the last Christmas holidays, I made it my ambition to do a 100% completion of an old game, Final Fantasy VII. Complete the main game, all the side quests, get all the materia, get all the limit breaks, maximum levels, the whole lot. I didn't quite get everything. I didn't bother learning all the enemy attacks, but it was an example of something fun that I really dedicated myself to. It was a wholehearted dedication. Now, just out of curiosity, would any of you like to share what your friend talked about in terms of doing things with your whole heart? Anyone brave enough to share? Yes.
Michael, he poured his heart into his art projects when
this. Poured your heart into an art project. That's great. Thank you. Anyone else? Raising children. That's right. That's good to hear. Yes. Oxfam 100K. Explain to us what exactly that entails.
Running
100Ks. Awesome. Thank you. Wow, that's cool. Now, of course, we're asking the question because the book of Deuteronomy is all about loving God with all of our heart. And that's what we're exploring this morning. Deuteronomy is known as the Gospel according to Moses. You know how in the New Testament we have the Gospels according to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Well, in Deuteronomy, we have here the Gospel according to Moses. And it seems really clear what we're supposed to hear. If you look on with me in chapter 30, verse 19, it says, choose life, so that you and your children may live. Now that's also what I want us to be hearing this morning as well, but I don't want for us to be obedient to this without understanding, because we are God's children, we're not slaves. Slaves are people who obey in fear, without understanding and without love. In contrast, children obey in faith, with understanding and with love. So as God's children, our obedience to God's word must come from a love for God's word and an understanding of it. So I just want us to spend some time actually thinking about this chapter, to really think it through and to also really feel it as well, so that when we do choose life, we might do it with all of our heart. Now, before we get into that, I'd just like to help us catch up with the story so far. And so I'd just like to ask us to travel back in time, 3,500 years into the past. And you're allowed to use your imagination if you need to. So, I want us to imagine we are all gathered together. But instead of sitting in these pews, we are standing on some dusty ground. And instead of this chapel, we are on the edge of a wasteland, and we're listening. We're listening very carefully. Someone is speaking. Someone very important. It's not me. It's Moses. Moses is the only leader we have ever known. All our lives we have spent wandering in the wastelands from the time we were children until today. Moses has led us, and Moses has taught us everything that we know. He taught us about the Lord our God, the maker of heaven and earth. He taught us about our ancestors, how many of them rebelled against God, and they were destroyed by violence and by flood and all kinds of disasters. Moses also taught us about promises that God made with our ancestors, promises to Adam, to Noah, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Promises that were passed down from generation to generation, all the way down to our parents, whom God brought up out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery, with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. And God chose Moses to lead our parents to a land that was promised to our ancestors long ago. This is what Moses has been teaching us from when we were very little. All our lives we've wandered this wasteland. But if we look behind Moses, we see a river. Do we see a river? Good. And beyond the river, we see a promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Our parents once had the chance to go in, but they were afraid. They did not trust God. They refused to go in. Now they are dead. Soon it will be our turn. Soon it will be our chance to go in and possess the promises God made to our ancestors, and we will not make the same mistake. We are excited, but we're also afraid, because Moses has been our leader for our whole lives. But Moses has told us he will not lead us over the river. He will die here in the wilderness. He doesn't have long to live, and he's giving us his final instructions. That's why we're listening. That's why we're listening very carefully. Moses has given us three sermons. In the first sermon, Moses showed us how God has been faithful while we've wandered through the wastelands, and he reminded us to trust God. In the second sermon, Moses explained to us God's Ten Commandments and the blessings and the curses that they bring, and he reminded us to obey God. And we've just heard in Deuteronomy chapter 30, the end of Moses' third sermon, where he revealed to us the future of our people, and he reminded us to love God with all of our heart. And that's the story so far. Now let's come back to the present. We're back in the pews, we're back in church, listening to me. But why listen to me? Why should we listen carefully to this passage that we've got open in front of us? Well, there are actually hints in Moses' sermon that his words weren't just for Israel as they stood on the edge of the wasteland by the river. If you turn back one chapter to chapter 29, verses 14 to 15, Moses says these really interesting words. I'm making this covenant with its oath, not only with you who are standing here with us today in the presence of the Lord our God, but also with those who are not here today. So it seems that in some way, Moses' words back then are also for us here today. That's why I think it would be good for us to listen very carefully to what Moses has to say. Because Moses is very concerned about our heart. And I don't mean that Moses is concerned about cholesterol levels, but Moses is concerned about our love for God. Moses speaks about the heart seven times in chapter 30, verses 1, 2, 6, 10, 14, and 17. Now, depending on your translation, sometimes you might find the word mind instead of heart. They're the same Hebrew word. When ancient Israelites considered the heart, they combined thinking and feeling. So when Moses talks about the heart, he wants us to love God with all of our thinking and with all of our feeling. And Moses is very clear about what he wants us to do with our heart. That is, what he wants us to do with our thinking and feeling. This is what Moses says back in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. So, to be one of God's people is to love God with all our heart. With all our heart. The big question for Israel then and also the big question for us today as well. The question is the same. How do we love God with all our heart? How do we love God like that? Now, the natural response in the context of the Israelites back when they were standing at the river, the natural response for them would be to think, do what he says. Keep the law. And Moses, from chapter 6 onwards in Deuteronomy, will actually go on and explain that law. That's what his second sermon is all about. But then, at the beginning of his third sermon, Moses actually says something that's quite confronting. His words in Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 4, challenges anyone who might think that we can love God all in our own strength. Let's read it. Verse 4 of chapter 29. But to this day, the Lord has not given you a mind, that is, he's not given you a heart, that understands, or eyes that see, or ears that hear. Moses had quite a stark message for the Israelites. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, and you will fail, because God has not given you that heart. Now, it's true, there may be times when the people might show more love for God than others, and so blessings might come for a time, but as a people, as a whole, their love for God in their thinking and in their feeling will in the end be lacking. They will fail to keep God's law because God has not given them the heart that they need. And so the cursings will come as well. What hope then does Israel have? Because if you take these words seriously, their future seems hopeless, impossible, and even unfair. It is at this point in Moses' third and final sermon that he explains what the Lord their God will do. Moses now speaks about future generations not yet born. And it begins in chapter 30, verse 1. When the blessing and curse fall upon God's people and they are scattered far away to the ends of the earth, and when from far away places they call God's word to heart and turn to him, the Lord their God will do 10 things for them. If you can scan down with me from verse 3 onwards, we'll go through these quickly. In verse 3, he will mercifully restore them. He will gather them again from the nations. Verse 4, he will gather them again from even from the very edge of heaven. Verse 4, he will bring his people with him. Verse 5, he will bring them back to the promised land. He will grow and prosper them even more than their fathers ever were. And here is perhaps the most important thing that God will do. Verse 6, God will circumcise their hearts and the hearts of their offspring. No longer will God's people fail to love him with all their heart, because one day God himself will transform the heart of his people so that they will love the Lord their God with all their heart and soul that they may live. God will do it for them. But wait, there's more. Verse 7. God will curse those who cursed them. Verse 9. God will make them abundantly prosperous in all their work. And God will delight in prospering them again. All of these wonderful things God will do for his people. Why? It's not because they deserve it. It is not because they keep the law that God gave to Moses. But God will do all of these things, all these wonderful things for his people, because of an unconditional promise that God made to Abraham. Remember what God said to Abraham. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Doesn't that sound really similar to what Moses has just been saying in verses 1 to 10? This is a summary of what Moses is basically saying. When you and your children fail to love God with all your heart, and when you suffer the curses that follow, do not put your hope in the law. Do not rely on keeping the law, but remember what God promised to our father Abraham. Put your hope in what God promised to him. Because in days to come, God will do a new work. He will give us new hearts, and he will bring us into a prosperity and an abundance that our ancestors never knew. And he will transform our heart so that we will love him with all of our heart and with all of our soul and with all of our strength. And on that day, when the Lord our God gives us a new heart, then we will be able to obey the whole law of Moses. The Lord our God will do all of these things for us, all for the sake of his promise to Abraham. These are the future things that God has revealed to us for our encouragement. So let us hope in God, for he will do it. That's basically what Moses says. That's the gospel according to Moses. And 1,500 years later, on the day of Pentecost, that gospel began to bear fruit. Because at that time, after Jesus had died on the cross and rose again and ascended into heaven, he poured out his spirit upon his people. And so if we turn to Acts chapter 2, verse 4, that's Acts chapter 2, verse 4, it's on page 771 of the Pew Bibles, if you have it. If we turn to Acts chapter 2, verse 4, we see that the people begin to speak in tongues. They proclaim the mighty works of God, and a crowd gathers, thinking they've been drinking too much wine. But the Apostle Peter stands up before them all, and he preaches the good news of Jesus to the crowd. And if you look down to verse 36, which is on the next page, on verse 36 he concludes, "Therefore let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." And here's the interesting bit. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. Haven't we heard this before? Is not this exactly what Moses said would happen? Turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 6. Moses said, "The Lord your God will circumcise," that is, he will cut your hearts and the hearts of your descendants, so that you may love him with all your heart, with all your soul, and live. So when Moses gave this sermon to his fellow Israelites all those centuries before, it seems that he was telling his listeners to look forward to Jesus and to put their hope in him. And that's really good. But one of you now might notice that actually in chapter 30, verses 2 and in verse 10, it sounds like that the people need to reach out to God first with all of their heart. And then God responds. It sounds like actually we need to do something first before God blesses us. So which one happens first? Do the people reach out to God first? Or does God reach out to the people first? To this I want to say that yes, it's true in our experience that all of us who are Christians at some point have had to make the decision to turn away from our old lives and to trust in Jesus. And then we get to enjoy the blessings that follow. However, that does not mean that we were the ones to make the first move. Because God spoke these words through Moses before any of you happened, before I happened. God, through Moses, was reaching out to future generations before those generations came to be, before they even thought about turning their hearts back to him. It means that before any of us here made any decision to become part of God's people, God, in his great love for us, had already been at work for thousands upon thousands of years to reach us, even to Australia, which really is at the end of the earth, and even in these last days. In fact, the Apostle Paul will say that God chose us in Christ from before the foundation of the world. And all that God requires of us is to trust that he will do it. Moses is not telling his listeners to acquire a righteousness by the law. But Moses is preaching to acquire righteousness by faith. And when God's requirements are understood in this way, actually, they don't seem so hard anymore. And this is what Moses also says. Let's look at verses 11 to 14 now. Now, what I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It is not up in heaven so that you have to ask, who will ascend into heaven to get it and proclaim it to us so that we may obey it? Nor is it beyond the sea so that you have to ask, who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it? No. The word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart, so you may obey it. Now, the Apostle Paul will actually go on to explain what this passage here means for Christians. In Romans chapter 10, verses 6 to 9, Paul explains what Moses wrote in our passage today. And I'll paraphrase what Paul says. Paul says this. When Moses talks about righteousness by the law, he explains it like this. The man who does the law will live by the law. But when Moses talks about righteousness by faith, he explains it like this. The Christian living by faith won't think to himself or herself, who will ascend into heaven or who will descend into the deep? Because the Christian knows in their heart that they do not need to work to draw near to God, either by trying to reach up to heaven or reaching down to the deeps. By faith, the Christian knows that God in Jesus Christ has already drawn near to them by coming down to us out of heaven and by rising up for us from the dead. It is the good news of Jesus which is very near to us. In fact, it's in our mouths and it's in our hearts. It's the message we tell everyone, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's what it means to be righteous by faith. And we actually learn all of that from Moses. Now, so far in this chapter, we're back in Deuteronomy 30 now. So far in this chapter, we've seen Moses explain his version of the gospel. God will save his people. His people must trust him and love God with all their heart. And now, as we get to verses 15 to 20, Moses brings his sermon to a close. Now remember, these are the final words of Moses' final sermon before he dies. And this is basically what he says. You have two ways to live. Or rather, you have one way to live by choosing God, and you have one way to die by rejecting him. So choose God and live. Let's read the passage. Moses says in verse 15, see, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. And now he explains, this is the one way to live. Verse 16, for I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. And then Moses explains the one way to die. Verses 17 to 18. But if your heart turns away, and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. And finally, we get to Moses' closing statement, verses 19 and 20. This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God. Listen to his voice and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Moses basically explains to the people one last time the choice that we all have between going to heaven or going to hell. It's just that he illustrates heaven and hell in ways that his original hearers could really understand. Because for ancient Israel, life in the promised land really was like living in heaven. And to be cast out from that promised land really was like being in hell. But as Christians here today, we know that life in the promised land was actually just a picture of the reality that we're looking forward to. When Jesus returns to reign, along with him will come the new heavens and the new earth, and along with him will also come the lake of fire and the outer darkness. And for those of us who love God with all our heart, Colossians chapter 3 verse 4 will explain our hope like this. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. And 1 Corinthians 15:57 will say, thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. But for those who reject God in their heart, Jesus will say in Matthew 13:42 that they will be thrown into the fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So choose life. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might, and live righteously by faith in him. Because in Jesus, God has done what he promised to Moses all those years ago. God has saved us from the death that we all deserve. He has come near to us and transformed our hearts so that we can confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead. So I just want to encourage us this morning. Let us do those things and continue to do those things. Because by doing so, we actually fulfill the law of God in Christ by living out the gospel according to Moses with all of our thinking and with all of our feeling and with all of our heart. Will you do that this week? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we've just heard the gospel according to Moses this morning, and we are so thankful, we're so happy, because Moses' words help us realize that you sought to save us from our sins, even those many thousands of years ago, even from before the foundation of the world. But we confess to you, Lord, now that even now we don't love you as we ought. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, and what we failed to do. And while we remain in our body of sin, we struggle and we long for the day when we put this body off and what is mortal will one day be clothed with immortality. So we, just like Moses commanded Israel back then, we know that we must live by faith, that you have saved us in Christ and you will save us when Christ returns. So we pray now for those that we know, who might even be here in the congregation with us now, who are strangers to your gospel and your promises, that do not have a heart that understands or seeks you. Please be merciful to them. Please may you grant for Jesus' sake that you might cut them to the heart and so seek your word of salvation while it might be still be found. Thank you so much that you've not left us alone, but that you've given us your spirit, which has transformed our hearts, a heart that is able to love you rightly, even if not perfectly at the moment. Help us to love you with all our heart, and we look forward to the day when we will be able to do so fully and perfectly. For Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.